This is an original tape-recorded interview conducted by Dr. A.G. Dittmar of New York with a French-Canadian family living near Hemingsport, Quebec, Canada, who had a flying saucer land on their farm. Some allowances must be made for the quality of the recording as it was obtained on portable equipment. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. A.G. Dittmar.
Here is the farmhouse home of Mr. and Mrs. Philip Poupal, who are in St. Bernard of Lacolle, or near Hemingford, Quebec, which is just across the border from Champlain, New York. 28th of August, 1954, a most spectacular thing happened on their farm. The family has gathered around the microphone to tell us about it. And first, I'd like to introduce to you Mrs. Poupal. Yes. Will you tell us all about that remarkable happening, 28th of August, 1954?
Well, it was on a Saturday night, and after supper, I sent the two boys to get some peas. That we had a big field peas at the other end of our farm. That's about 14 acres from the house. And they got the horse, and they both went horseback to get some peas. And when they got that at the barn that we have at the other end of the farm, they tied the horse, had the post there, and they went for the peas. The smallest boy was a little further in the field, and the big one had his back turned to the barn. But sideways, he sees a big thing coming in the air and came down on the north side of the barn. They were on the south side, southwest side. And the other boy didn't see it because he had his back turned to the thing that came. And the big boy didn't say nothing to the young one in case he'd be afraid. He looked at it, and when it came down on the ground, it was all like a ball of fire when he seen it. But as soon as it came, it touched the ground, it was all black. It was like a cover that came twisting around it. And it was all black. And there was a door that opened that made like a ladder. Ladder?
Mm-hmm.
To And the man came down.
Well, before we go any further, how large was this school town?
It was about 9 feet diameter.
And it was like a sphere, a perfect sphere.
Sphere, yes.
And at first it had a color, a brilliance.
Yes, like fire.
Like fire. Until it landed, and then it immediately had no color to it at all.
Well,
other than its own.
Black.
Oh, it's black color.
Yes.
And at what time of day was this?
It was about half past seven, daylight saving time.
I see. Well, go ahead and tell us about the man.
There's a man that came down, big, tall man, all dressed in black, like rubber,
mm-hmm.
and skin tight.
Covered the whole man, did it?
Yes.
His head.
Just his head wasn't covered. But his arms and all his body, it was skin tight. It was, this man, he could see the big muscles that he had. And he held himself on the side of the door, like, to come down. And in his other hand, he had, a machine gun.
Oh.
And
a gun?
Yes, a gun. Something that looked like a machine gun.
Like
and when he seen the boy, the big boy, he just turned his head sideways. The boy, before, right away when it came down, he could hear in the grass like if fire was in the grass, but it was the hair coming out of that thing or the suction of something. He looked around and see if there was fire in the grass. That was the only noise. That thing didn't make no noise at all.
Mm-hmm.
Just something like a bee.
A little hum, then.
Yes. And then the big boy looked at the smaller boy, and he said, you think there's something that we could climb on the horse near the barn? The young one said, I think so. Well, he said, you go and have a look. And the young one goes and have a look. He said, yes, there is. Well, he said, we'll go home then. He said, you run and open the gate for me. And the little one didn't see nothing about it. After they got to the gate, he climbed on the horse with the other one. And now the big one tells them, you look back if you see anything. I've seen something before we left.
Oh, one of the fellows, the older fellow, is the only one that saw it up to this point.
Yeah,
how far away did he say it was from him when he first saw it?
About 150 feet.
150 feet. Mm-hmm.
Maybe not quite as far, but something around there.
Mm-hmm.
And when the first thing when it came down, the horse was so afraid of it that he just stood on his iron feet, you know, he just stood up. And now they go the little one, he says to the big one, say, yes, there's a big man coming back of us. And now they make the horse run.
I see.
When they were about halfway to the house, this thing comes up in the air and passed right near them.
Uh-huh.
And just lands in back of our barn near the house.
Right here, near this barn is outside here.
Yes, the big barn here,
mm-hmm.
About an acre and a half, 2 acres from the barn.
I see.
In the pasture there.
Yeah.
And as soon as it lands again, it comes all back.
That circular thing went around and around and around and made it black.
Yes, made it black.
Mm-hmm.
And they took the horse in the stable. And they come running to the house, screaming, and the young one comes in, and he locks the door. And I said, what's the matter? The big one tells me, Mama, we've seen something tonight, and what we're going to tell you is the real truth. We've seen something, it's a flying saucer, nothing but a flying saucer. And maybe they're running after us. They're going to come in, maybe. They've just landed and bagged the barn again. I said, oh, no, they won't come in the house. I said, Papa's milking the cows. We'll go and see him. Maybe we'll see it, too. Oh, no, they didn't want to go out. They were sure that them people were going to come in the house. So I decided, then I said, you take the gun. We'll go out. We'll go to the barn. Well, they decided. We go to the barn, and we get in the back door, and they go and see where it was. It was moonlight, and they seen the thing, and there was three men walking around it.
Three this time.
And now it was in the moonlight. They couldn't see if their dress was black like they seen at the other end the first time, because the moon, it was just shining like glass now. You could see it shine in the moonlight.
It didn't look like it was black anymore.
No, it looked
shining.
Like cellophane then.
I see.
And now I come to back to the house to telephone to somebody for them to come and see.
Yeah.
We were kind of afraid too, you know.
Well, sure are, naturally.
And I call up at the Hemingford Village for Mr. Fetch. And that's the agronomist. And he wasn't home. The boy answered, and he said, he's over to Mr. Lowry. So I told the boy what was going on. And him and an iron man they had, I don't remember his name, they started to come here. And by this time, I call at Mr. Lowry. And, I don't know. I think that they didn't believe us. They talked about it a little while. And when I see nobody was coming, I called up again. By this time, it goes up again in the air, and it lands on the other side of the road.
Woodchuck off here?
In back of the barn there, and it lands on the other side of the road near the water hole there.
Oh, it did.
Yes. Well, by this time, I call up again at Mr. Lowry's, and Mrs. Lowry tells me that they have just left to come. When I go out the house, this thing was going up again, and the boys hollered to me and said, "Come quick, Mama, it's going up again." And now Mr. Fetch and all the boys, Mr. Fetch's sons and the Iron Man, they all were here then. And they seen it go up in the air. But it was firing up. Now it looked just to be like 3 feet diameter when we seen it. And we seen it go far, far. It was just as big as a marble when we couldn't see it no more.
It took off very rapidly, you say.
Yes, and it went up, and it had a big cable and with something black hanging to it, like a big iron piece, quieting.
Mm-hmm. What color was it when it was moving again?
This bulb?
Yeah.
It was like a big soap bubble, and soap bubble.
Mm-hmm.
It was all like fire, like a big moon.
That's the last you saw of it that night.
Yes, and it went away west. And it passed over Mrs. Lowry's residence, and she seen it too,
mm-hmm.
when it went on, when it went over there.
Well, what were the boys' names that saw this?
Henry was the big boy that seen it.
How old was he at the time?
He was 13.
Uh-huh.
And the other one was one of my twin boys. It was Gabriel.
And
he was 11.
11, mm-hmm. Could we hear from them? A few words from them. There's Henry right behind you there. Henry, tell us just a little about how you felt when you saw that first. Take the microphone there. When you first saw it out there in the field, yeah.
I was very afraid of that.
You sure were, huh?
Mm-hmm. And I went to the house and I told out all about it to my mother.
Uh-huh.
It was a round thing, about 9 feet square.
9 feet diameter,
yeah. Yeah.
And red, all kinds of colors.
All kinds of colors, huh?
And when he comes in the house, he says, "Mama, je vais vous dire quelque chose, là. Ça va, c'est bien vrai, bien vrai, qu'est-ce que je vais vous dire, là. Et on a vu un secours volant, certain.
He may have, but I don't know.
Vous pouvez me croire, qu'est-ce que j'ai dit. C'est pas des mandries. It ain't lies.
Uh-huh.
What I'm going to tell you is the real truth. And he had seen it. The Saturday before, the same thing.
He'd seen it the Saturday before?
Yes,
also.
But not landing.
Right.
Just
went by.
It went by and going on the same place where they first seen it.
Have you seen it since?
Well, one Saturday, or quite a long time after that, we seen something on a Saturday night again. But not near enough that we could say it was that.
Well, Mrs. Kupal, about 3 weeks later, you had a strange visitor visit your house. Is that so?
Yes.
Well, tell us about him.
This man had seen on the paper, because somebody had it come on the paper, the Sunday morning paper, and he seen it. And on the Tuesday, he called me up, see if we'd talk about it to him and show him where this thing came down and everything, that he was very interested in flying saucers and that he'd like to know more about it.
He just showed up here at the house?
He called
you on the phone.
On the phone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I told him yes, and he comes down, and the boy took him where it landed here near the barn. He didn't take him down at the other end of the farm, but he seemed to know something about it. He didn't want to go right away at the other end of the farm. He wanted to come back at night around 6 o'clock or at half past six. I told them that we didn't have time in this afternoon to go all over the farm, that we had too much work to do and to come back that night. He said, I'd like to come back tonight because I'm quite sure this thing is going to come back again tonight.
He seemed to know all about it, then.
Yeah. Well, I said, you come back tonight. He comes at the time that he had said, that around half past six he was here. He had a bite for supper with us, and he leaves with the boy Henry, with the boy that had seen it. Because this time, the other one was away on a vacation. So Henry goes, and I didn't like the idea of him going alone with this man. I had my other boy, Medor, to go with him, but he didn't seem to like it very much.
He wanted to go alone.
He wanted to go alone. I don't know if he had a revolver or something on him. He had a spyglass?
Field glasses. That's right.
And, they go. And I was well organized. We had somebody in the field all over the place. If anything had happened, well, there was somebody near that they could...
It was well guarded.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Around 9:15, there was something that came from far, from the south, and seemed to come right for the same place. And this man gets up and he had a big white handkerchief, and he runs in the meadow that was in back of the barn, there, a big long meadow, and he runs almost half the meadow, and he waves the handkerchief, and he comes back and says, oh, it's all right. They won't come back now.
And passed right over?
Yes, it passed right over.
Oh, wow.
And then stop.
What did it look like? Henry, can you tell us what it looked like? The one that...
She looked round, and after she passed out over her head, she was like if
had wings.
Had wings. Wings come out.
Very far out, or long or short wings?
Short.
Short wings.
Mm-hmm. After that, she said to us, we'll go home now. There's nothing. Mm-hmm. Nothing doing.
There was a light there. It was dark enough, so it had to be a light to see it.
Yes.
And what color was the light?
Red.
A red light?
Yes.
Uh-huh. I see. And it just passed on over and didn't come down. How far up was it about? Was it very far up off the ground?
Yes.
Way up?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Any noise? Any sound to it?
Yes, there was noise.
Much? What did it sound like?
Like a motor.
Uh-huh. Well, do you think it might have been an airplane, or was it a different kind of a sound than an airplane?
It was other kind of sound.
I see. Wasn't at all like an airplane motor.
No.
Can you think of what it might have sounded like? What kind of a motor? Or was it a...
A washing machine motor.
A washing machine motor. Very interesting. Yeah.
And this time, when they first seen it, that first night... And we thought that when it came down, there was fire in the grass.
Mm-hmm.
This thing didn't make no noise, just about like a honeybee.
Mm-hmm. A hum.
Yes,
well, what happened after that? They just gave up the chase?
Yes. Well, he was questioned here at the house by some of the authorities, and this man didn't seem to... And nothing to say after it. He didn't seem to be afraid or nothing, but he was very calm. And we never heard about him anymore.
Did he say where he came from?
The way he talked, he was working in the Laurentides, but I don't think so.
Yeah.
No. And
I think he was making up a story about his identity.
He showed me papers he had in his pocketbook and that he was very interested in flying saucers.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that he was going to come back and with the cameras, maybe that he'd go in going the flying saucer too.
He expected it to land that night, and he thought he might get in?
Land, yes. And that Henry would take pictures. He was going to show.
He wanted Henry to take a picture of it or get in with him?
No, to take picture with him.
From the ground?
From the ground when he'd be getting in the flying saucer.
I see. But he had no camera, and it didn't land either.
He didn't land. He didn't land, and he didn't have no camera with him when he came back. But he was supposed to come back again. And he wanted us to have a bed down there at the other barn, that he could stay there at night.
But you didn't care for that at all. Well, he certainly did act suspiciously. What do you think... this thing that you see, that you saw flying across and landing, do you think that's anything that came from the Earth?
Well,
we never heard anything like that.
Never heard of anything like that. Seen it before.
Took off so quickly, so rapidly. We don't have
the man didn't look like people from this Earth.
Mm-hmm.
He was a big man with the great big brown eyes, very black. His hairs were black and. Straight, not cool, not like not like cool like men's around here. They were not his hair were not cut like.
I see. Was it longer? You mean?
Well, long, not very long. Come on.
Like Henry just motioned to us. It went down to the center of his neck.
Yeah.
In the back. I see. Well, many people who are studying flying saucers are convinced that they come from other planets.
Yes, sir.
What do you think about this man that came to visit you? He seemed to know all about this thing.
Well,
do you think he was one of those fellows?
Well,
could he have been?
I don't know. Something was mysterious about it because this day when he came, it was just after dinner, and while he was gone... around half past 4 or 5 o'clock, there was another man walking around the bush where this thing landed the first time. And the horse, the same horse that they had when they went to pick the peas, it came back from the field running and seemed to be very scared of this thing. And done the same thing again this day.
That was the same.
The same day.
Same day the other man was here.
Yes. Mm-hmm. There was a man walking along the bush down there. We seen it from here. We never heard about him anymore. This man stayed 2 days at an hotel not very far from here.
Mm-hmm.
We heard about it.
Well, that certainly is a very interesting story. I wish we could get to the bottom of it and find out just...
I wish we would, too.
Where it came from, where the man came from, where he went, and who he was, and what he was doing here. But it's... all we can do is guess, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know. We heard on the radio the next day that he had the radar, what is it?
The radar.
The radar. Had printed... a mysterious thing in Ottawa around 20 minutes past 1 that same morning.
They picked it up on their radar, say. 20 after 1. That was about 3 hours after it left here.
Well, it left here around 10 minutes past 9, I guess, or something like that.
Yeah.
And we're about
4 hours.
4 hours. How many miles from... Maybe
the
stop. It's from Ottawa here.
At the rate it was going, it could have gotten to Ottawa very quickly, couldn't it?
Yeah, well, yes. I know it ain't so far as that to go to Ottawa.
No.
Maybe it stopped again before it got there. It
sounds
like
as if it did. Mm-hmm. Well, quite a few mysterious things have been seen around here, haven't they?
This same night, after it just left for the last time we see it, well, I called up at St. John's at the airport there, asked them if they had anything, trying anything in the air this night, and he said no, that they didn't.
That seems to be the way so many of these sightings go, that the Air Force say they having anything up in the air. They're not trying anything, yet they do see these things.
Yes.
And a lot of the Air Force pilots have seen these things and reported back. And there's nothing supposed to be anywhere near them, and they see them in radar.
Yes.
The most fascinating subject. I hope we live long enough to find out where they're coming from.
I don't know. I don't think we will.
You don't?
Although they say that the next war will be between planets, huh?
I don't know. They also think that these people, if they are coming from other planets, are showing themselves friendly. More so than we are toward them.
Yes, I suppose.
Maybe we should learn a lesson. We should learn a lesson and be friendly to them, and maybe they'd come and we'd get along fine.
Maybe they're not bad. They're not bad people. They're from other planets.
Well, if they're that far ahead of us that they can fly from one planet to another, they must be way ahead of us.
Oh, yeah.
So they'd be way ahead of us on those things, too, wouldn't they?
Nobody from this Earth never could reach other planets yet, huh?
Not yet. Well, this certainly has been a very interesting talk that we've had, Mrs. Kupal. Say a few words in French, or trying to get Gabriel here to say a few words in French at least, because he talks very good French and understands English very well. How about just a little bit? Come on, say. Oh, just say that in French, what you thought of it when you saw it land out there in the field the first time. We have just a couple of seconds here. You better say it. Okay. Well, thanks a lot, Gabriel. You're a little bashful about it, but he did say it for the record. And you want to say a word? Go ahead. Who's this?
It's Michael.
It's Michael. All right, Michael. Michael wasn't
Michael.
On the scene.
Hi, Michael. I didn't see it, though.
Weren't you here when it landed out here in the field?
No.
Oh, you weren't even home, huh?
I'm not.
I see.
I'm not.
Oh, I see. Oh, that's too bad you missed such a fine sight. Well, thank you very much, Mrs. Kupal and Henry and Gabriel and everyone else for this wonderful talk. I know it's going to be very interesting to all those who... Oh, I see. Oh, that's too bad you missed such a fine sight. Well, thank you very much, Mrs. Kupal and Henry and Gabriel and everyone else for this wonderful talk. And I know it's going to be very interesting to all those who are interested in flying saucers because they know that you have really seen one.
Oh, we've seen it for sure.
Well, thanks a lot.
Well, you're welcome.
So long.
Presentation of tape recorded UFO information service, an unprofit organization.